as we come together on this morning, thanking God for the many blessings that He has given us. We will be looking at the topic, seeking the lost, on this morning. Seeking the lost. It's important that we realize the urgency to seek those that are lost. No matter what we come up against, we are still supposed to go out and seek those that are lost. In Acts chapter 8, starting with the first verse once again, thinking about this is man by the name of Saul. In Acts 7, we find where he was standing by as Stephen was being stoned. The Bible says in Acts 8, verse 1, and Saul approved of his execution, making reference to Stephen. We know that once again, when we look at these chapters, man put those breaks in there, but the Word of God has continued without any interruption, with a flow. He says in verse 8, and there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except for the apostles. Devout men buried Stephen and made great lamentation over him. But Saul was ravaging the church and entering house after house. He dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. Now those who were scattered went about preaching the word. Went about preaching the word. And that is exactly what we need to be doing today. We need to be preaching the word. It's important for people to know that there is a God, and His Son was given on the cross of Calvary so that we all may have a right to live. We need to share that message. There are times where we are ashamed, and I'm, you know, ashamed to even say that, but we are ashamed to do the things that God would have us to do. These men and women, as they were scattered abroad, they did not turn to run and to hide, but they ran in order to share the word. They ran in order to do the will of the Father. They ran to do the things in which they had been taught in reference to our Lord and our Savior. We need to be doing the same today. But we have a tendency that when someone talks about us, when someone tells us that we do not know what we are talking about, we have a tendency to close our Bibles and put them aside and just go with the flow. We do not have a desire to share the word the way we should. But this should right here in Acts 8 be our example of what we should be doing no matter what we come up against. We still should be holding fast to the word of God, and we still should be going out and sharing it with other people. We need to continue to do those things. Our mission in seeking the lost. Our mission in seeking the lost. It starts with a prayer, or it should start with a prayer. I believe that many times when we set foot out to go do something, we forget to include God in that plan. We forget to address Him, acknowledge Him, have a communication line with Him, that whatever we do, it may be pleasing unto Him, and that He may assist us in doing these things. As Brother Tonopoulos prayed about laying down last night and waking this morning, being able to share the word of God with people. This is what we should be praying for. Amen. For those that are lost in a dying world. In Romans chapter 10, starting with the first verse. Romans 10, starting with the first verse. Paul, he never ceased to pray for those congregations that he came in contact with, that he assisted in establishing. He never ceased to pray for them. And we find that as we read through the Scriptures. He says here in Romans 10 verse 1, "Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For being ignorant of the righteousness of God and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes." We should be praying the same for people today. People that are in denominational groups out there thinking that they're worshiping God, you know, that God is pleased with what they're doing and how they're doing it. We should be praying for them. That they may come away from those false ways and come to the knowledge of knowing who God is and what they must do in order to become one of His children and in their worship. We should be praying for those people. Somebody somewhere prayed for you and I. Somebody somewhere is still praying for you and I that we may do the right thing because we have come to the knowledge of the truth. And that we may remain faithful in the service of the Lord. But there are some lost people out there. Some of our family members, they're lost. Some of our friends, they're lost. Those people in our jobs, our co-workers, they're lost. Our neighbors, they're lost. What are we doing about that? Are we sharing God's word with them? Or are we ashamed? In the book of Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 4. Colossians 4, verses 2 through 4. We need to pray. We need to pray. "Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the word, to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak." We need to pray for that door. We need to continue to pray that as we go out into the communities and we knock those doors, that the door of someone's heart may be open. As we find in Acts chapter 17, verse 11, when those individuals, when they searched the Scriptures, the Bible says these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, that they received the word with all readiness of mind. They searched the Scriptures daily to make sure that the things that they were being taught were so. But we need to pray to God for the same thing today. Amen. That the door of their hearts may be open. That they may receive the word and that they may continue to search it. And when they find that they have been doing things wrong, or they have found that they have not in Christ, that they may come to the knowledge of who He is and be obedient unto the will of the Father. Our mission in seeking the lost. It is in our conversation. In our conversation. So many times we have ran people off. We have made people feel uncomfortable. We have made people say, "I don't want to listen to them anymore." It's all in the way that we approach people. I remember sitting in the home of someone with another brother, and we were sitting there, and he was talking to this lady, and he was trying to get her to understand the truth according to God's word. How to worship, how we're supposed to address people. And in doing so, he got a little loud. He got a little loud. And before you know it, someone came out of the back room. It was the lady's son who lived there with her. And he said, "It is time for you all to go." And you know what we did? We got up and we went. But it's all in how you address people, how you talk to people. See, the way Brother Butch talked to someone, I may not be able to talk to them like that. The way Brother Gary talks to someone, I may not be able to talk to them like that. And again, you know, I want you to listen sometime to the things in which people say and the things in which they pray for. I can't believe that Brother got up here and prayed that you know, the work that I do, that God may be continued to be with me, and that even when the time that I stand before you and I rebuke you, I can't even believe he said anything like that. Have I ever, and don't no one answer this, have I ever rebuked any of you in here? If so, if it was not by the word of God, I was wrong, right? But if it was by the word of God, we need to accept that. So we need to continue to do what we're supposed to. And then even when you rebuke someone, it's the way that you do it. You know, stepping on people's toes is not an easy thing sometimes, because when you step on someone's toes, if you don't step on it just right, you're going to fall. You're going to fall. So we need to understand how to do things the way God wants us to do them. So we look in the book of Colossians chapter 4, that same chapter, and we look at verse 6. He said, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. You may know how to answer each person. See, sometimes when you're talking to someone and you're talking to them in this manner, you can't talk to the next person like that. You have to know the people that you're talking to. You have to know how to address them. And that's exactly what Paul is telling the church of Colossae here. Know how to address people. Know what we're praying for and know why we're praying for these things. And he tells, going back up to verse 5, he said, walk in wisdom toward outsiders. Now, who are we seeking to save? Who are we talking about this morning? We're talking about those on the outside. We're talking about seeking the lost. Jesus came to seek those that were lost. Now, these were God's people that he was seeking, but the people that we were talking about this morning that I want you to focus on are those people that have never come to Christ. He says, walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Walk in wisdom toward outsiders. So we have to know how to walk. See, there are times where we want to go out there and we want to have friends with these people in the world, and that's okay. But the thing that we're missing, the thing that we're not doing, is we're not understanding how we cannot participate in the ways of the world. We're not understanding that. So therefore, when our friends come up to us and they say, hey, let's go down here and let's rob this convenience store. Our mind's sometimes just not right. You say, what are we waiting for? Let's go. I'm a little short on those red pennies in my pocket. I need a couple of them. And you go and you participate in that. You're not walking the way God wants you to walk. You need to know what is right and what is wrong, and you need to do those things. We need to be an example to those that are out there in a lost and dying world, and we need to tell them, no, I am not going to participate in that. And when your picture is flashed across the television and say that there is $1,000 reward for the identification and leading up to the arrest of this individual, I'm going to get those red pennies because I'm going to turn you in. Because I know you, and I know what you decided to do. And then I hear about it, and I say, someone was just talking to me about that. And there your picture is, right there on the news. I'm turning you in. I just want you to know that right now. And I know there's no one here that's planning on going and robbing anybody and going to come ask me to help you. I already know that. But we're talking about the outsiders. See, people don't always know that we are Christians, and they ask us to participate in things that are wrong. We have to know how to take a stand, and we have to know to do the things that are right before God. So our conversation needs to be right. It needs to be seasoned with salt. We need to know how to address people and address them in a way that God would be pleased with. Our conversation needs to include Christ. It needs to include Christ. We, you know, these people here in Acts chapter 8, they wasn't scattered just to be scattered. They were scattered because this is God's plan. This was his plan that they may be scattered, that all nations may hear his word. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. But look what they did when they were scattered there in Acts chapter 8 and the verse is 5. Acts chapter 8 and the verse is 5. Philip was part of this number. You know, there are some people that confuse Philip and think that Philip was one of the apostles. No, he was not one of the apostles. He was an evangelist. And the Bible says right here, Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed to them the Christ. He went down and proclaimed to them the Christ. He just didn't go down there. And then they asked him the question, where'd you come from, Philip? Man, I came from Jerusalem. That man by the name of Saul, he was there. He was persecuting the church. And he was dragging men and women out of their homes. And he was casting them into prison. I ran and here I am amongst you sinners. And this is where I want to stay. That's not Philip's message. Philip's message was about Jesus. About how Jesus was crucified. And we'll talk more about Jesus, not in this sermon, but we're going to talk more about preaching Jesus a little bit later on. But I want you to understand the importance of preaching Jesus so that people may know what they need to do in order to be saved. And then the man there in Acts chapter 8, verse 35, that Philip was led to, sitting there in his chariot, reading the prophet Isaiah, not understanding what he was reading. And Philip asked him that question, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I except some man guide me? And you know what Philip told him? I want you to listen to this very carefully. You know what Philip told him? Philip said, you're reading Isaiah, the passage of Isaiah. You don't need to be reading that. Is that what Philip told him? No. Philip took him from that very passage of Scripture and preached, the Bible says, unto him Jesus. See, our problem is sometimes, we don't know how to address people. Our conversation is not what it needs to be. We tell people, why are you reading the book of Revelation? That is too hard for you to understand. The thing that we need to be doing is we need to be studying the book of Revelation so that when we run up against that individual that's reading it, that we may understand to take him from that passage in which he's reading and preach unto him Jesus. That's what we need to be doing. Are you in the Word of God? Are you studying the way you need to be studying? Or are you that person that keeps saying, I don't know enough to talk to people about God? How can you save the lost? How can you go out there and find them when you do not know what to tell them? If you have ever gone berry picking before, you take something with you in order to put those berries in. Because there were times in my life where people say, hey, I'll pay you if you go pick me some berries. You know what I did? I didn't just go out there and start picking them and putting them in this hand and when this hand was filled, going back. No, I got me a bucket. And I went and I picked berries for those individuals because I knew that when I took those berries back, that they would pay me for them. And we have to understand our payment for preaching the gospel to people. It is to be pleasing in the sight of God. And He's a rewarder of us when we do what we're supposed to. We're trying to get to heaven. So we need to be prepared. We need to be in the Word. We need to be studying the Word. That when someone asks us something in reference to the Word, we can give them an answer. We can give them an answer. Our mission in seeking the lost is a plan. It is a plan, and the plan needs to be carried out. God, again, it was from the foundation of the world that this plan came into existence, or that this plan was formulated, and it has come into existence today. It is in full effect. And what Jesus told his disciples in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, he told them a very simple message because they had the Word. They knew what he wanted them to do as far as following him and being obedient. But here he tells them, it's time for you, because I'm not longer going to be here with you. It is time for you to go out. To go out and do what? To talk to those people that were already my followers? No. He tells them in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. All nations. What, you mean to tell me? And this is just me talking now. What, you mean to tell me that we have to go and talk to the Gentiles? People of another nation? That was not their response. He told them, though, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Baptizing them. That is when you become a disciple, when you were baptized, or when you become a disciple is when you are baptized. Because we have some people here that are not a disciple. They're not following Christ the way they need to be following Him. They may say, oh, I worship. But is your worship acceptable? Is your worship acceptable? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then teaching them teaching them to observe all things, or whatsoever I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you, even unto the end of the world. I am with you. Are you doing what God wants you to do? Or are you following the plan? Do you understand the importance of talking to your neighbors about Christ? See, I have some wonderful neighbors. I have some neighbors that they understand who I am. They understand what I am about. They understand the importance of talking to me about whatever. That's the type of neighbors I have. Not all of them are the same. But when we as neighbors, when we look out for one another, when we talk to one another about what's going on in the community, when we can talk to one another about God's word, that's what it's about. Seeking the lost. Because all of our neighbors are not members of the Lord's church. All of our members are not doing what they're supposed to be doing. And so we need to be that example to them. And we need to let them understand the importance of knowing that God sent His Son to die for the sins of the world in which they are a part of. We need to have compassion. We need to have compassion. In Luke chapter 19, as we talk about people or we talk to people, we need to have compassion. Because there are some people that are trying to get close to us. Because they know how we're living. They're trying to get close to us because they want to see Jesus. But many times, in many cases, they can't see Him because of what is going on in their lives. They can't see Him. But there are times where they're reaching out. Remember that God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. We're the only time that some people will ever hear anything about God because they're not going to open up their word. They have problems sometimes with reading. And so they're going to rely on us to tell them about God's word and expect us to tell them the truth. But this individual right here in Luke chapter 19, a man by the name of Zacchaeus, the Bible says in verse 19, he entered Jericho and was passing through, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was. But only on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to that place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down. Make haste, some virgins say, for I must stay at your house today. So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. Zacchaeus, he was able to see the person that he was looking for, that he longed to see. He heard about him. He wanted to see him. Did not say he wanted to talk to him. He just wanted to see him. But Jesus did a little bit more for Zacchaeus on that day. Jesus made eye contact with Zacchaeus. And he said, come down. And Zacchaeus came down. And he said, I must go in your house today. I must come with you. And he went with him. And what happened? What is the end result? The end result is this. That Zacchaeus was able to receive salvation because he seen Jesus. He heard Jesus. And he responded to Jesus. See, we need individuals today to see who Jesus is, and the only time they're going to ever see Him is by looking at us and doing the things that are right. So there needs to be a response to the Word of God. As we talk to people about the Word of God, there needs to be a response. We need them not to close their ears. We need them not to shut their doors, but we need them to hear the Word of God. Romans chapter 10 and the verses 17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Just hear me out. Give me a moment of your time. Let me talk to you about God. Let me tell you about His Son. Let me tell you what the Holy Spirit has done. Give me just a little while. See, it doesn't take years. It doesn't take months. It doesn't take weeks. Sometimes it doesn't even take days. It just takes a little while for someone to hear about Jesus and for them to respond to the gospel. And they believe. They believe. Mark chapter 16, verse 16. He that believes. He that believes. And not the belief as Satan, the devil and his demons. Not that type of belief. Yeah, they believed in Jesus, but yet they did not want to follow him. This is an obedient belief here. Obedient faith. Believing who God is and willing to listen to what the word of God says. And says, I am ready to repent of my sins. Luke chapter 13 in the verses 3 and the verses 5. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Amen. Willing to change your way of living, your way of thinking, willing to do the things that God wants you to do. A response to the word of God. Have you responded? Have you done what is right, or are you willing to do what is right? Are you ready to respond? If so, you're willing to confess. Making that confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, as we find in Acts chapter 8, going back and looking, I believe, around about 36. When he was told in 37, when Philip asked him, you know, if you believe, you can. And he, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Believing that with all his heart. The Ethiopian eunuch now, hearing the word of God being proclaimed to him. I don't know how long they were riding along in that chariot. But I do know that when he heard the word of God, when he heard Jesus being preached, he responded to it. He believed in what Philip was preaching to him. He was willing to repent of his sins. He was willing to make that confession that he believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. And he was willing to be baptized. And how do I know? Because the Bible says he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they both went down into the water and he was baptized. Amen. Baptism is what saves. Not me saying that I've heard the word of God and everything is okay. The rest of my day is going to be great. My week is starting out fine. No, that is not enough. You have to believe in what you hear. You have to be willing to repent. You have to be willing to confess. You have to be willing to be baptized. Oh, it's all over now, right? No, it's not over. We have to grow. We have to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have to grow because growing is what makes us mature Christians. You have a baby. You know, it is good to see that baby, isn't it? To hold that baby, to cuddle that baby, to be able to feed that baby and take care of that baby. But one day, that baby is going to grow. It's going to grow into the terrible twos. Threes are no better. They get to 4 and get to 5, that baby began to talk back. Get into elementary school and, oh man, they're on the roll now. They're growing. Can't tell them too much when they become teenagers because they know it all. But you know what? That child is still growing. Growing into a young man or a young woman. Getting to the point where they're saying, Mom and Daddy, it's time for me, as my oldest and our oldest told us, it's time for me to get grown. You know what getting grown means, right? That they got to find them a new home. They can't live with you any longer. Time for them to get out on their own. Do their own thing. Do their own thing. They make their own rules in their own place. But when we thinking about talk about growing in Christ, only time we need to move is when we are moving forward. Doing what God wants us to do. Being obedient unto His Word. And we need to continue to do that. As long as we are living, we need to continue to grow. Because that time is going to come. That time is going to come when we give up the ghost. But the Bible teaches us in 2 Peter chapter 3 and the verse is 18. But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Are you growing? Are you growing? Are you doing the things that God wants you to do? And then faithfulness. Faithfulness. God is looking for faithful people. You know, the Bible teaches us as men that when we look at the Scriptures and we learn the Scriptures, as Paul told Timothy, he said, commit thou to faithful men. See, you can't go out there and say, hey, this brother is not very faithful, but let me teach him about teaching a Bible class. Well, what good is it going to do you to teach him about teaching a Bible class when he's not here? When he don't want to come? You're wasting a good teaching. Teach someone that is willing to teach others also. That's what we need to be doing. We need faithful brethren. We need brethren that are willing to stand up for the truth. We need sisters that are willing to teach class, to do the things that are right. We need individuals that know the truth and are willing to share the truth with others. We need faithful Christians. That's what the Bible says, reference to men that are elders and their wives, that they need the wise or faithful in all things. Not some things, but all things. Need to understand the importance of being faithful. And we look in the Bible in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 in the verses 58. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. I like how the Holy Spirit allowed Paul, inspired him to write this. Because it says, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. If you're laboring and it's not in the Lord, it's in vain. See, that's the opposite of that. But knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. So maybe you're here today and you're not a child of God. We want to encourage you to become a child of God. We want to encourage you to put Christ on through baptism. We want to encourage you to continue to grow. We want to encourage you to be faithful. We want to encourage you to come down the aisle and make that confession before the ones that are here that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And you be immersed in the water of greater baptism for the remission of your sins. That is God's desire. That is our desire. That is our plea. That is our prayer. Maybe you're here and you're straight away. We're asking you to come back this morning, that you confess your faults. And again, remember that God is just to forgive you of all unrighteousness, according to 1 John chapter 1 and the verses 9. We have a great mission set before us. And that is to go out and to seek the lost. That is to continue to bring souls to Christ. And that is to encourage individuals that are in Christ to remain in Christ and do the things that are right. If you're here this morning, you're subject to the invitation, whether you're an alien sinner or an erring sinner, we ask you to come. Whether you just need the prayers of the congregation, we ask you to come as we stand and sing the invitation hymn.